Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, December 12th, 2022, less than 2 weeks until the glorious Christmas celebration, Sunday, December 25th. On the Cross in the Desert for the last couple of programs, I've been focusing in on and centering in on Jesus, the reason for the season, Jesus, the promised Messiah, and the hope and the comfort that the birth of Christ more than 2,000 years ago gives to us today. And today is a very special program. As I continue on that theme, I want to look very carefully in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a wonderfully rich prophet who talks so much about the coming Messiah, the suffering Messiah, the millennial reign of the Messiah. And I want to focus in today on a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, the first seven verses. It talks about the different aspects, the characteristics, the titles of the coming Messiah. And so this morning on the Cross in the Desert, we're going to once again focus in on the person of Christ, which I've said many times, Jesus is the reason for the season. Isaiah chapter 9, I'm going to begin down in verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. We see here in the context that the coming Messiah, in a time of distress and turmoil and occupation by foreign nations, is going to be a great light in a deep darkness, that the people walking in darkness have seen, past tense, a great light. Throughout the scriptures, we see in most every chapter of the Old Testament, God revealing a little bit more about the coming Messiah, his place of birth, Micah 5:2 in Bethlehem. And today I want to focus in on the verses beginning in verse 6, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I want to spend some time this morning on the titles of the Messiah that talk about his wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah is talking about this coming of the wonderful counselor. He's coming indeed to establish his kingdom. Isaiah is writing this amazing prophecy about 800 years before the birth of Christ. And this period of history was a tumultuous time. The Assyrians were on the march, taking people into captivity by droves. And Isaiah's prophecy here, 800 years before the birth of the Messiah, gave the people of God a hope they desperately needed. A child, Isaiah writes, would be born to fulfill the Davidic covenant. And he would bear these titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of course, this child is Christ. And this prophecy is far-reaching. It will reach its consummation in Christ's second coming. Now, let's take apart these titles. Isaiah calls the Messiah a wonderful counselor. It indicates the character of this coming king. The word wonderful, literally in this passage, means incomprehensible, which means the Messiah will cause us to be full of wonder at who he is. You know, we hear that word today in conversations, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful in a way that is boggling, though, to the mind. We look at the word wonderful in another context in Judges 13, verse 18, when Manoah, Samson's father, asked the Lord in this theophany what his name was. The angel of the Lord responded, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" In other words, why do you ask my name, since it's beyond your understanding? Well, how did Jesus demonstrate the term wonderful? Well, he did it in various ways. Look at his virgin birth, a wonderful miracle that was. In his power to heal, he showed his wonder, his wonderfulness. In his amazing teaching, in his perfect life, and of course his resurrection from the dead. Meaning Jesus taught many wonderful things that are counterintuitive to the human mind. What do I mean? Blessed are those who mourn. That's counterintuitive. Rejoice and be glad in persecution. That's seemingly a contradiction, but it's true. This is what Jesus taught. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Jesus' kind of wonder or wonderful is awe-inspiring and superior to anything. He is perfect in every way. So the word wonderful elicits awe and wonder in us at who he is. Now the second part of the Messiah's title here is the word counselor. In ancient Israel, a counselor was portrayed as a wise king. Think of Solomon, who gave guidance to his people. And Isaiah uses this term counselor again in chapter 28, 29 to describe the Lord. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Well, Jesus is a wise counselor. He didn't need anyone to testify about mankind. He knew what was in each person. He knew their hearts. He was able to advise his people thoroughly because he is qualified in ways no human counselor is. The Bible says in Colossians 2:3, in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, including the knowledge of all human nature. He knows this. Jesus always knows what you and I are going through, and he always knows the right course of action to take. So Christ's position as our wonderful counselor means we can trust him. He listens to our problems. He guides us in the right direction. He has our best interests at heart because he loves us. And his love is so wide and deep and wonderful that we cannot fully understand it. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. The mighty God is the next designation of who Jesus is. This is a wonderful testament to his deity. Let's look carefully at this particular part of the prophecy. He is the one who has the wisdom to counsel and the might to carry it out. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. In the very next chapter, Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah begins a chapter with a prophecy. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. That designation in Hebrew is El Gabor, designated about who Jesus is. He is not just a child born in a manger. He is the creator, the almighty God of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as we saw. And the mighty God is Jesus, who in his second coming will return in majesty from a humble bondservant to the mighty God. The day of the vengeance of our God, Isaiah 61:2. He is the mighty God, the divine warrior who conquers every foe, our mortal enemies. He conquered death, hell, and the devil. He is the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, El Gabor. That's who Jesus is. Now, he is not only wonderful counselor, mighty God, but everlasting Father. Be careful here. Isaiah is not confusing the persons of the Trinity and now calling Christ Father. Jesus is separate and distinct from God the Father as God the Son. It says of him, he's the everlasting Father. That could be translated literally, Father of eternity. That's very important here. He has no beginning and no end. That means that not only is he everlasting, but the Father of eternity, he is the Father of time, the architect of the ages. Again, an emphasis is on his everlastingness, his deity, that he is God. He is the everlasting Father. Now, that was a term used in the ancient world. The father of the nation was viewed in much the same way as the father of a family. The father provided and protected his children in the same way Jesus, who will become a king, will be like a father to the children of Israel. He will protect and provide for them. And his role of protector and provider is not limited by aging or death. It will continue on in perpetuity. That is who Jesus is, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Now, we go to the last part of those titles. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, our Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Well, in a world filled with war and violence, it's sometimes difficult to see how Jesus can be the all-powerful God who acts in human history and also the embodiment of peace. But here in this context, physical safety and political harmony don't necessarily reflect the kind of peace he's talking about here. The word for peace is shalom, and it's often used with the appearance of calm and tranquility of individuals, groups, and nations. And it can mean unity and accord. A spiritual harmony brought about by an individual's restoration with God. So we can say, based on those nuances of the word shalom, that Jesus brings peace between God and man. Because in our sinfulness, we were at enmity with God. We are enemies of God, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because of Christ's sacrifice, we are restored to a relationship of peace with God. Christ's sacrifice provides more for us than eternal peace. It allows us to have a right relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as we see what Christ does as Prince of Peace, he restores that fellowship between God and man. That's really the definition of peace here, the tranquility between God and his creation. And so as we look this morning at these titles, they reveal something of the character of Christ in his wonder and his counselor, in his being the mighty God, the creator of the universe, the everlasting Father, that he is the creator of eternity, the Father of all eternity, and the Prince of Peace. He brings peace between God and man. So when you reflect on these titles in the Christmas season that we're talking about, what is your reaction? You could ask the question this way: who is this child? What child is this? And how does his birth relate to you and me? You can ask this question: is Christ your wonderful counselor? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you consort him? Do you come to him for guidance and direction? Do you cry out to him for direction and understanding and what to do? Is he your wonderful counselor? Is he your mighty God? Do you look upon Jesus as much more than the babe in the manger, that he is God manifested in human flesh, that he has come to die for our sins, to give his life as a sacrifice, to restore a right relationship with God through him? That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. Now, make no mistake, as we are looking at this prophecy and we've looked at his titles, let's not forget this part. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. That hasn't happened yet. There is coming a time in the second coming of Christ where he will come and reign on the earth from Jerusalem and establish 1,000 years of peace on earth. That is to be yet fulfilled in Isaiah's prophecy of the greatness of his government. He first came as the sacrificial lamb, as the bondservant, to die for our sins as the Lamb of God. But he is coming again as the mighty warrior, the vengeance of our God, the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will come again and defeat his enemies and establish his 1,000-year reign upon the earth. And that is known as the millennium. And Isaiah says he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So what we have discovered this morning is those titles that help us to understand something of the character and nature of who Jesus is. And those names tell us who Jesus is: the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You know, we listen to a favorite song every Christmas that I'm about to play, and it asks the chilling question: what child is this who's laid to rest? I want you to think about what this song is asking, and then ask yourself, is that child Jesus, born in a manger? Is he living in my heart? Is he my Lord and Savior? I want you to think about that as you listen to this beautiful rendition of What Child Is This by Selah. Beautiful worship music from Selah. What child is this? It's really a Christmas classic. It's asking the question, though, and I want to ask you the question before I sign off today. What do you think of that child born in a manger? It won't do enough to say he was a great leader, a great teacher, a wonderful person in history. That doesn't cut it, as they say in the vernacular. That child is not just a mere human being, but according to the Bible, he is deity. He is God manifested in the flesh. And now, since the Bible points to the identity of that child, what are you going to do with who he is and who he claimed to be? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus made some incredible claims during his ministry. The babe in the manger grew up to be kings and Lord of lords. He says, he who has seen me has seen God. And so when you look upon the babe in the manger in his miraculous birth, that child grew in wisdom and stature and power. And he carried a cross. He bore our sins. He was the king who came to die for his people. And so the question is this to you. With those claims made by Jesus, the Messiah, how will you respond to him? He is not just one way among many ways. There are not many pathways to God. As I've said before, Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And those are very audacious claims, but can they be backed up? Well, according to the Bible story, according to the witness of history, on the third day after his death, Jesus rose triumphant from the grave. He appeared to his disciples. He commissioned them to go and tell the good news. So the babe in the manger became a mighty warrior for truth and justice, filled with compassion and grace. He gave his life on a cross to forgive our sins, and then he backed up and demonstrated his claims by rising again from the dead on the third day. It's not enough to try to say, well, that's just a story of history, that's just the hallucination. No, it's not enough to say that, because he was seen by over 500 at one time. Either he is Lord, liar, or lunatic. Lunatic, liar, or Lord. That is the options you have. What will you do with the baby in the manger? This Christmas, I hope you unwrapped the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of Jesus, who was born to die, who gave us his life, and gave us his truth, and gave us forgiveness and grace. The babe in the manger is our Creator, the Lord, and God, and King. This Christmas, make your heart his home. I want to thank you so much for spending some time this morning on this important Bible study. Have yourself an incredible week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. God bless you.